Please open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Your Scofield Bible, page 806. Beginning with the 33rd verse, we will read through the 35th. The 34th verse is the text verse, verses 33, 34, and 35. We'll read these verses in unison, and shall we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Begin with me, please, there with verse 33. Ready? But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And let's pray. And Father, what a wonderful day you've given us, and thank you for this good crowd. We pray for thy blessing, for thy help, for thy power now in this service. Very especially bless our preacher, and bless, we pray, those who are in attendance, that every word would, of course, enter the heart of every believer and speak to those who need thee very specially. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. How wonderful is thy book, how blessed are thy promises, how amiable is thy tabernacle. Bless us this morning as we think of things eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. It is 35 minutes past 11. I want to assure you, though we have taken about almost 10 minutes to remember those who have gone before, therefore I'm starting the sermon about 10 minutes later. I do want to assure you that we will be out by 1:30, not 1 minute later than 1:30. So you can rest at ease, and you can know. No, I will be finished preaching no later than 12:05, and you will be out no later than the usual time at 12:30, and I think earlier even than that. So you can rest at ease. You it gets about 5 to 12, don't you? So I wonder how much longer it's going to go. To every watch that is looked at this morning, I will add 60 seconds to the sermon. Every person that goes to sleep will require me to add another minute to the sermon, which means we're having our annual preach-a-thon this morning, but I'll be finished not 1 minute later than 12:05, and that's a promise. And those of you who come regularly here know that I usually keep my promises. I want to speak this morning on the subject, God's Memorial Day. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And God is a God who wants us to remember. On the shoulders of the high priest, in the book of Exodus, were to be two stones. And the Bible says that those stones on the shoulders of the high priest were to be a memorial to God's people. On the table of showbread, and the showbread on that table in the tabernacle, there was to be sprinkled frankincense. And that frankincense, the Bible says, was a memorial to God's people. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 4, we have the story of the Passover. In fact, most of that chapter, the story of the Passover. And the Bible tells us in chapter 12 and verse 4, that the Passover was to be, as it was observed each year, it was to be a memorial of their deliverance from Egypt. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 14, the Bible says, God said, write this for a memorial in a book. And this was the memorial of Aaron and Hur lifting up the hands of Moses when Moses' hands became heavy. Our Lord and Savior in the upper room instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. That Lord's Supper was for one purpose and one purpose only. It was not meant to evolve into some kind of a sacrament necessary for salvation. It was simply a memorial. God said, I want to give you a little piece of bread. And I want that bread, unleavened bread, depicting the sinless body of our Lord to represent the broken body of our Savior. And our Savior said that I want the local churches, that's the only kind of church there is, local churches, as they assemble, I want them to periodically take the piece of bread, and I want them to eat that piece of bread, and remember as a memorial unto me. He said, when that is done, I want you to take a little cup of juice, unleavened juice, just like it's unfermented juice, like unleavened bread, because there's no sin in the body or the blood of our Savior. And he said, I want you to take that little cup of juice, and I want you, when you do, to remember me. This holiday, to me, is more important than Christmas. I think it's more important to God than Christmas, because Jesus was not born on Christmas Day. And Christmas basically has nothing to do with a Bible day. This holiday is more important than Easter to me. This holiday ranks right beside Thanksgiving Day as being the most biblical of all the holidays. This is Memorial Day. Now, I'm glad that God remembers. I'm glad that Deuteronomy 4:31 says God will not forget His promise. You mark it down, every promise in this book God will keep. He may not do it exactly when you think He should, but God is faithful to keep His promise. And so that's God's promise. He remembers. Then in Psalm 9 and 12, I'm glad for this passage, it says he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Aren't you glad, little bus kid, that He forgets not the cry of the humble? Aren't you glad, lonely widow up in years, facing the senior days of life and the sunset of life, aren't you glad that God forgetteth not the cry of the humble? And on Memorial Day and every other day, God remembers the cry of the humble. Then in Psalm 78 and verse 39, it says, He remembereth that I am flesh. I love that. God remembers that I am flesh. When I make a mistake, He says, I expected that from you. I know you're just flesh. And God remembers that I'm flesh. And then in Psalm 103, verse 14, He says He remembers that we are dust. But I'm not going to spend my time this morning discussing with you what God remembers. I'm going to spend my time rejoicing with you because of what God does not remember. The thing that excites me most is what God forgets and not what He remembers. I love that Psalm 43, verse 25. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, He said, and will not remember thy sins. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Why don't you stand up and have a spell then? Did you hear that? God said, I will not remember thy sins. Now, we're very adept at remembering each other's sins, but God says, I will not remember thy sins. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you could be a little bit like God and forget the sins of other people? God says, I remember not thy sins. And how about that? We read a while ago in Jeremiah 31:34, I will remember their sin no more. And then in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12 and Hebrews 10:17, and their sins will I remember no more. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about why God does this right now, but I'm just going to tell you He does. If you could talk to God this morning, but you can. But if you could have a conversation, a two-way conversation with God this morning and could hear His voice audibly, and you called up God and said, hello, God, this is Ray Bordway. And the Lord would say, I don't think I know you. And he'd say, this is Ray Bordway. And God would say, what you want, Ray? And Red say, I want to know what you got on old Jack Hiles. I'm deacon and chairman. We're going to have a meeting, special call meeting tonight after the service. And we're going to just, I want what you got on old Jack Hiles. And God would turn the Lamb's Book of Life. He'd turn to H and Y-L-E-S. And he'd say, yeah, that name is here. And Board would get his pencil and pad down. And say, okay, go ahead. And God would say, nothing. Nothing. Praise God. No need to call. And by the way, if I called up God and said to God, what you got on Ray Bordway? He'd say, nothing. That's why I call up Mabel and check on Ray instead of God. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yeah, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go neath the crimson flow. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. I like what Romans 4:8 says. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And that word impute, any way you look at it, means charge or credit. And the word happy, the word blessed means happy, contented, peaceful, joyous. That means that I am happy and peaceful and contented and joyous. Why? Because the Lord won't write down my sins. That's what it means. Yeah, devil said, yeah, look at old Hiles down there. He hated somebody. Oh, I never have. I never hated anybody that didn't deserve to be hated. And look at old Hiles down there. He hated somebody. And write it down. God said, nope, won't write it down. It's hard beneath the blood. Been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing me from all sin. And I got some people up there in heaven right now, I expect, don't like me very much. Maybe they do. Maybe they'll have to like me up there. But they say, God, write down this against old Hiles. And God says, I won't do it. And the devil said, how about that? I won't do it. The word implies here, he refuses to impute sin. He refuses to write sin down. He says, uh-uh. It implies that somebody is suggesting he write sin down. And the accuser of the brethren says, Hiles did this. And he's right. Hiles may have done that. Write it down. God said, I won't do it. Won't do it. Why? Because it's washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life. God said, I will not impute sin. Bless it. You want to be happy this morning? You have to read some of these stupid books by 15 Ways to Find Contentment. Just stop and realize that your sins are not being written down. You want to have contentment this morning? You haven't got to read some psychiatrist shrink's book. Just stop and realize my sins are not written down. Gone, 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 gone. Yeah, they're all gone. That'll make you happy this morning. That'll make you smile. That'll keep you from griping. That'll keep you from having a frown on your face. And if you stop and realize, blessed, happy, contented, joyful, peaceful is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I wish it said something about women, but it doesn't say anything about women. Because the Lord is masculine, and He records all you women's sins. That's one reason why He can't record man's sins. The books are all full. I think I'm in trouble. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying God doesn't remember your sins. God does not remember your sins. Let me sum it up here. And by the way, it's going to be a long summary. Let me sum it up here. What these scriptures say. Number one, God will not write down your sin. Don't misunderstand me. If you commit a sin, God may punish you on earth. And God may cause you to suffer some on earth. But God will not write down one single sin. Why? Because that's what Paul meant when he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And it was a shout. Paul, and there's no verb there. He said, no condemnation! No condemnation! I will not stand before God to have my sins judged. The average person in the world this morning thinks that someday your name's going to be called and you're going to stand before God. And God's got a big book there. Over here, He's got one book. Over here, He's got another. And this book has all your bad deeds in it. And God said, okay, you got 75,242 good deeds. And takes a book over here, bad deeds. This is the good deeds. 81,916 good deeds. Okay, go to heaven. You got more good than bad. In the first place, not one single person's ever walked on the face of the earth that's got more good than bad. And I'll go further than that. There's not one single person on the face of the earth that has one good. You know why good works can't save you? Because there's no such thing as good works. Boy, I never said that in my life before. That's good. That's why good works can't save you. There's no good work. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, even our righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. There's nothing good. They're all become unprofitable. They're all gone out of the way. They're together to come unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Praise God this morning. God will not write down a single sin that I commit.
The other day, where are those two fellows that went to court the other day? I went to court with Ash one. Where's the other one? There he is. Don't talk to those fellows. Unclean, unclean, unclean. A couple of convicts. They were out soul winning. And two of the finest fellows in this church, which shows you what sad shape we're in for fine fellows. But two of the finest fellows in this church, out soul winning. And we have a right to go soul winning on public streets and witness on public streets, but they were not on a public street. They were in a mobile home area. And they did not stop and realize, because their mentality is, anyway, they did not stop and realize that the mobile park is private property. A street on a mobile park is not like a street, an ordinary street in a neighborhood. It's owned by the people that own the park. And so they were in this mobile park, and they were witnessing. And somebody suggested they leave, and they suggested that they stay a while, maybe. And anyway, the police came. And frisk him, lean him up against the car. I wish I had movies of it. I really do. Lean him up against the car and took him to jail and put him in jail. Good night. I'm ashamed to pastor him. But anyway, they hadn't done anything they knew was wrong at all. But they'd broken a law ignorantly. Most all they do is done ignorantly. But they'd broken a law ignorantly. And so we bailed him out of jail. And I went to court with them. One of our good attorneys, Brother Bolduc, went with us, and he could not be their attorney legally, officially, because of some legal reasons. But he went with us and helped us to know the what to do, and told us how to handle it. And so they called us up there, and I stood beside him, and Brother Bolduc stood beside me. And I know how Jesus felt when he was between two thieves, you know. But anyway, I stood there, and here was the judge up here. And so the prosecuting attorney had said, we'll settle for, I think, set a fine and 3 months of supervision. And so the attorney asked me, he said, Brother Howes, do you think we'll take that? I said, no, I don't think so. I said, let's go ahead and see if we can do better. And so I asked the judge, could I speak a few words, please? And he said yes. And I was surprised. And I spoke on behalf of the fellows. And the judge said, okay, he said, they have broken a law, but he said, I'm going to cut the penalty. He said, in first place, only 30 days supervision. And he said, I'll cut it from 3 months to 1 month. Now, he said, in the second place, there'll be no fine. And then he said, the best of all, he said, in the third place, after the 30 days, we'll take it off their record. And after 30 days, it'll be just as if they'd never sinned at all. Off the record. And bless God, when I got saved and trusted the Jesus and His blood as my hope for heaven, God said, I'm taking everything you've done off the record. Why? It's on Jesus' record. That's why. Off the record. And my name is clear. God will not write them down. Now, wait a minute. Think of it. Hey, you folks today, think of it. Think of it. You could have your record clear in heaven. You could have the book of heaven, not have one single sin charged against you. Hey, think of that. Think of that. Oh, you worry, afraid, when you have a little pain in your chest. You think, oh, what if I died? Would I go to heaven or would I go to hell? You'll go to heaven or hell depending upon if you have one spot against your record or not. If you have one sin charged to your record in heaven, you'll die and go to hell. If you have one sin charged, you're guilty of that sin. How many murders do you have to commit to be a murderer? One. How many things you have to steal to be a thief? One. How many sins you have to commit to be a sinner? One. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. Didn't say how many. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Didn't say how many. If you've got one thing against your record in heaven, you'll die and go to hell. But bless God, when down yonder, little town called, down little neighborhood called Lisbon, in Dallas, Texas, out in the ghetto section, back behind the Fernwood Baptist Church, I got on my knees and said, Jesus, if you'll take a little poor, barefoot son of the neighborhood alcoholic, I'll take you as my Savior. And that moment, God said, erase all of the sins against his record. Oh, think how wonderful it'd be if every your record were clear before God.
You say, preacher, what could I do? What in the world could I do so my record would be clear and so God would not write my sins down? Hold on, I'll tell you in a minute. Second thing I want you to notice is this. Not only are we summarizing it by saying God will not write them down, but God will treat us as if we'd never sinned. God will treat us just as if we'd never sinned. Somebody said justification means just if I'd never sinned. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed, they're all in the past. They've all been forgiven, for He holds me fast. I'm just... Listen, you walk down this aisle, join this church this morning, that will not erase one single sin from your record. You get baptized in that baptistry, you've got fins on your body, and your feet are like duck's feet. And you'll not have one sin taken off your record. You can turn over a new leaf, go down across the street and confess your sins to the priest down across the street. You can join every church you want to join, take every sacrament that the Catholic Church has, become a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, do all the good works you want to do, and feed all the poor, give to all the needy, and be a good husband, good wife, good worker, good neighbor, good friend, and good church member. But you've got to get those records off. Suppose
I owe some money. I don't owe any money. I do owe some money. I don't think I do. Let's suppose that you owed some money, Brother Jeff. Let's suppose that you owed some money to Marshall Fields over here. And they sent you a statement and said, you owe us $3,416. Suppose you walked over there and said, I came over to give you some good news. I don't owe you any more money. I got baptized yesterday. Folks in the finance department say, we're glad you got baptized, but you owe us $3,416. Oh, but he said, don't understand. I took the Lord's Supper yesterday. Oh, how about this $3,416? Oh, but he said, I've turned over a new leaf. I'm not going to use credit card anymore. From this moment forward, this will, how about your past problem? But I'm going to live a good life. Living a good life won't erase that $3,416. Joining a church won't erase that $3,416. The only way in the world you can get that $3,416 erased is have it paid for. And you've got to pay for it, or somebody else has got to pay for it. And the Bible says the wage of sin is death. Somebody's got to pay. You've got to pay. Hey, I've got good news. Jesus has already paid for it. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He'll treat you just like you'd never sinned. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Wouldn't you like to walk out of this building this morning with not one single sin recorded against you in heaven, and God would refuse to ever write down any sin you ever committed as far as your eternity is concerned? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And wouldn't it be wonderful if God would treat you as if you'd never sinned at all? Every dark night, every wicked deed, every evil thought, every evil intent, every bad motive, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of it were erased? You say, preacher, what can I do? I'll get to that in a minute. Number three, God cannot remember our sins. Whoopee. Whoopee. Three cheers for Jesus. He couldn't write them down again if He wanted to. You say, what is it? What is it that I could do? Listen, if I told you this morning that if you could pay $50,000 and every sin in heaven would be erased, and God would treat you as if you'd never sinned, and God would never remember again a sin that you of your life, I'll guarantee you that most of you would do everything you could to raise that $50,000. Because you'd like to know for sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that not one single sin was charged against you in heaven. But $50,000 won't do it. And $50 million won't do it. And joining a church won't do it. You say, preacher, what have I got to do? Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. By faith. By faith. What does it mean? If you this morning would say, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm lost, and I know Jesus paid the penalty for my sin, and from this moment forward, I'm looking to Him for my hope for heaven, your faith in Him, God would count for your righteousness, would blot every sin out of your record, never record another sin against your record, treat you as just as if you had never sinned, and forget every sin you ever committed. Romans 4:5, Susanna Wesley's favorite scripture, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 4:3, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. Romans 10:1-3, brethren, my heart prayer to God and heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. For our brethren record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not committed themselves unto the righteousness of God. God offers you His righteousness. Now you have one choice. You try to get saved by yours, or you get saved by His. But you will not get saved by yours. Somebody said, Brother House, could good work save you? Yeah, here's what you have to do. First thing you'd have to do is get born of a virgin. You've already got a problem. Number two, you'd have to live a perfect life. Never say what you shouldn't say. Never go where you shouldn't go. Never walk where you shouldn't walk. Never hear what you shouldn't hear. Never taste what you shouldn't taste. Never tread a path you shouldn't trod. And then live a perfect life. After you've lived that perfect life, then you'd have to go to a cross and die on the cross. And after you die on the cross, you'd have to be buried and stay there for 72 hours, 3 days and 3 nights. And then you'd have to rise from the dead and ascend to heaven. If you could say by good works, that's what you'd do. But you can't do that. But there is one who has. The moment you put your faith in Him and trust Him as your Savior. I said to my Sunday school class a while ago, about that little wonderful story we studied this morning in Numbers 21 about the serpents. All those serpents were cut loose by God because the people had complained against God and God's man. And those serpents were biting the people of God, and they were dying and falling over like flies being smitten. And they were dying, and all of a sudden people came to Moses and said, Moses, we've sinned against God and against thee. And Moses prayed for his people, and God said, Moses, tell me what you do. He said, You take a pole, and it'll take a piece of brass, and you beat that piece of brass until it looks like a serpent. And then you put that serpent of brass on that pole, and you lift that pole high with that serpent of brass on that pole. And he said, then you pull it out of the platform. He said, you hold that serpent of brass high. And he said, you tell the people, every one of them that's been bitten by the serpent, that'll look. Didn't serve one that'll be good. Didn't serve one that'll do good works. Didn't serve one that joins the church. Everybody that looks. I'm so sick and tired of these Pharisees talking about easy believism. Let me tell you, brother, it is no difficult thing to look. That's all they had to do was look. He said, you lift that pole high. He said, everybody that looks, and bless God today, there's another pole. John 3:14 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God says to me, you hold high the pole. And I say to you, all you got to do is look. If you know you've been bitten and know that you're helpless and cannot heal yourself, and realize that pole has been lifted for you, the pole of Calvary, you look to that Savior on that cross, and bless God, the moment you do, your sins are forgiven. But you said, Brother Hines, don't you have to? You haven't got to join anything. You can join a Masonic lodge and get saved as easy as you can join the church to get saved. And I personally prefer the church. The Ku Klux Klan couldn't save you any more than the First Baptist Church of Hammond can save you. And the NAACP can't save you any more than the First Baptist Church of Hammond can save you. It's the Christ on the pole that saves you. You look to that Christ on that pole, and the moment you look to Him, by the grace of Almighty God, He says, from this moment forward, no sins will ever be written against you. They're written against Jesus. And He said, all the sins you've got in the past, they'll be blotted out and erased, and you'll have no record. And He said, not only that, I've got Alzheimer's disease, and I'll not remember a single sin you ever committed. Praise God. When I think about this story, I think about an evangelist I used to know. Preached a revival or two for me many years ago. His name was Lewis Wunneberger. Brother Wunneberger was a great man of God. He had a little boy. That little boy was 6 or 7 years old or so. He called his daddy in and he said, Daddy, I'd like to be saved. Brother Wunneberger told him how to be saved. The little boy said, Daddy, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. His daddy tried Romans Road and that didn't. He said, Daddy, I don't understand it. What do I have to do? His daddy said, son, he tried the Gospel of John, John chapter 3, and John 3:16 and 3:36 and so forth, and John 1:11-12. He tried them all. Little boy said, I don't understand it, daddy. I don't understand it. Brother Wunneberger said, son, let me try it again. He said, back in the Old Testament days, God's people had sinned and complaining against God and God's man. And son, God sent snakes everywhere. And those snakes bit the people and they were dying. The people came to Moses and said, pray for us and forgive us. And Moses prayed. And God came and he said, sonny boy, God said that if Moses would take a piece of brass and beat that piece of brass and make it look like a snake and put that snake on the pole and lift that pole high, they'd be saved. He said, sonny boy, that's a picture of Jesus who died on the cross. You look to Him and He'll save you. Little boy said, I understand it now. He looked to Jesus. Years passed. The boy was 14 years old, I understand. He became seriously ill. He was on his deathbed. Brother Wunneberger came and the doctor said he has a few moments to live. And Brother Wunneberger said, son, tell daddy, are you saved? And the last words that little boy said, he said, daddy, remember the pole that was lifted up. Every single person in this room this morning who will look to the Savior who was lifted up on the cross and trust Him by faith. That faith will cause God to wipe away every sin you ever committed. And that faith will cause God to refuse to ever record another sin against your record. And that faith will cause God on this Memorial Day weekend, 1990, to get amnesia and Alzheimer's disease. And He'll never remember a single sin you ever committed. I don't believe that. That's why you're going to go to hell. You believe it, you can go to heaven. Look and live. There's life for a look at the Savior. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, what a...